If you will take your Bibles with me and turn to Acts chapter 5, we've been slowly working our way through several different chunks of passage in the scripture. And so this morning I titled my sermon Prison Break, because that's kind of what happens. We see Peter and them get arrested and then they get out. It's really cool seeing God's intervention in these things through his purpose, his plan for the apostles. And it's one of the most exciting things as we look at Acts, seeing the early church really get started, really get rolling. We see people coming to Christ, people passionately sharing the gospel, and it's really something that we should, in our own lives, be with. So if you're with me in Acts chapter 5, we'll read a few verses before we start jumping into the passage, starting in verse 12. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of them dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the multitudes of both men and women. So that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on the cots and mats as Peter came by, that at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and all were healed. But, verse 17, but the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. So we'll stop there a little bit. To kind of review from last week, we talked about the early church having everything in common, how they sold what they had and they were unified. They were unified in their hearts, in their soul, and in their mind. And if we're to be an effective body of believers, that we should be unified, working together, not divided. It's easy to get caught up in our own agendas or our own plans, but as a church, we need to be united, acting together as one group of people for Christ. So this morning we see the apostles get arrested again. This is not the first time where they are dealing with these kind of situations, but once again, arrested, being thrown into prison. They go back into prison, and we'll get to see that that same night, they're freed again. If we pick up in verse 19, but during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. And what I love about this is, what do they do immediately after they get back out of jail? They go and do the same thing over again. I grew up in Washington. When we see crime, a lot of times you see repeat offenders. That's how it is. They do the same thing over again. When Thor gets pulled over, it's usually for speeding. And so when I get pulled over again, it's usually for the same reason. And the apostles, they keep getting thrown into jail for the same reasons, and they go right back out and they do it again. This is a good thing. It's not like when you're speeding where it's a bad thing. This is a good thing. When the apostles get out of jail, they go straight back into the ministry. They go straight back to proclaiming God's name. And that should be how our lives are. We should mirror that. And now, granted, we're blessed in our nation. We don't get thrown into jail every time we share the gospel. But when we get rejected by people who don't want to hear the gospel, or we get discouraged because somebody's opinion of Christianity or a faith, it's really easy for us to kind of hide back and step back into the safety of the church. But as Christians, we should always be stepping out, willing to share that gospel, share that truth. I talk about the people I work with. I have a good friend at work who does not believe in Christ at all. He has nothing that he wants to do with the church or anything about it. It's a blessing that he even talks to me when we are working together. But when he rejects Christianity, I don't just give up with him. I have the opportunity. God has put me in that kind of position where I can work with him, continue to witness with him. And so again, I go back into it. And I know his response is going to be every time a rejection of Christ. But that's okay. We went back straight into the service. Back is sharing the truth of the gospel. And as Christians, that should be our focus in these things. We talk a lot about how we're coming into the end days and it is politically incorrect to share the gospel. And we might reach a time where they're going to start throwing us into jail for preaching the gospel. And I plan on, if these times come during my lifetime, to be spending a lot of time in jail. But it's for Christ. We get to count our suffering as a blessing for Christ. So we see this council reacting again. We pick up in the latter half of verse 21. We'll read through 26. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council and all the senate of the people of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought back. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So then when they returned and reported, we found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the front doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now, I don't know if you've ever been through something, and I'm going to relate this to work, where something goes terribly wrong. I've had things go wrong at work, and you're just like, I really hope no one ever finds out while I'm here. But then the supervisor comes walking through, or the principal, or your parents come in, and, you know, what happened? I feel kind of like with these guards, I kind of feel for them a little bit. They're like, go bring these prisoners in, and they go to the jail, and they're like, the prisoners aren't here. It wasn't anything I did. I don't know where they've gone. I don't know what we've done with them, but they're not here. But they go, and they say this. We found no one inside. In verse 24, now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. That curiosity, we put them in jail, we locked them in jail, the jail was secure, and they're not there. These are odd things. And we know, we talked last week about how they weren't so concerned with the message of the gospel that was being presented, but when that lame man was healed and that miracle was performed, that created a problem. It proved what they were saying was true. And they run into the same problem again. It looks like another miracle has happened. This is not good. If we're trying to stop this little upstart religion, these things are not playing in the favor of our group, and they're perplexed. They don't know how to deal with it. So verse 25, and someone came and told them, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain and the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. They go out, they arrest them again, they bring them back in. This is like the third time this is going on. As the leaders, you probably get tired of it. I have a number of friends who are officers on the police force of Yelm and in Tacoma, and they really get tired of bringing in the same people over and over again. And I feel like probably these people are getting a little bit annoyed. They're supposed to be managing the temple, and these people keep getting out, keep preaching the gospel, and it's probably beginning to bother them. We look at it, and it's a great act of God, and it's amazing. We're like, yay, praise Jesus. But on the other side of this, these people are just like, why can't we keep these people down? So we see the prison was empty. They tell them, they start this conversation, verse 27, when they brought them and set them before the council, the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. We told you guys to stop. If you ever work with little kids, our Awana leaders have lots of experience with this, where you tell them over and over again not to do something, and they do it. It's like human nature. We told you to stop, but here you are. You keep doing it. In verse 29, they reply, Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. They said this the first time, they're saying it the second time. Guess what? When it comes down to following man's law or following God's law, I'm going to obey God's law every time. There's only so much that this human physical realm that we deal with can do to us. They can kill us. They can throw us in jail. They can torture us. They can do these things. But God, he's the one I'm concerned with. I want to serve him with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. And so we will obey God rather than men. And they continue on. The God of our fathers, who raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree, God exalted him at his right hand as a leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. We see this theme in all of Peter's messages. He is continually pointing back to these. You are the guys who crucified Jesus Christ. And these leaders of the temple were the ones. They were the ones who went through this whole process. This is not some idle threat or general accusation. These are the people who crucified Christ. And they declare their witnesses. And the council has had enough of him. So they get upset. Verse 33, we pick up, when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. They had finally had enough. They were like, we are going to kill them. But I call this guy Gamaliel the cool-headed. I think, you know, there's always that one person who's very chill in the situations when stressful things start to happen. My little brother is extremely good at being cool-headed. I usually start to panic and I go into the snowball effect of destruction. But it's always nice to have that cool-headed person who says, just take a moment and breathe. And so he talks. So we'll pick up in verse 34. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. Hey, let's split them up. Let's take a moment and collect ourselves. And he said to the men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For behold, these days, before these days, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody. And a number of men, about 400, joined him. And he was killed, for all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. And after Judas the Galilean rose up in days of the census and drew away some of the people after him, he too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, and you might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice. He's going through all these examples. He's telling the guys, hey, be careful. You know, we've seen this before. We've seen it pop up, little groups pop up, and they're always dispersed. So, you know, maybe just let them go. Maybe they'll burn themselves out, and things will go back to normal. But if not, you might be opposing God, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to be on the side that's in opposition to God in our lives. We get bogged down with so many different things in our life, whether we get caught up in sin or caught up in making money or all these things, and we start pushing God out to the side. Guess what? We don't want to be on the opposing team, because if God's the team we're on, there's no chance of failure, guys. It might feel like failure. You might look into the world and be like, things are getting worse and worse, but guess what? It's all in God's plan. It's all in his control. So then they call him the apostles. When they call him the apostles, they beat them and charge them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. I don't think they planned that this was going to last for very long, and I think they were just still so enraged by this that they had to take out a little bit of them. So they beat them and warned them again, don't do this anymore. You guys need to stop. Verse 41, then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. They get beat up. Their first response is, yes! We got beat up. We got pulled into court. We got in trouble with the law. All for Jesus. That's an amazing opportunity to have, to be persecuted for Christ. And in America, I think sometimes we're so afraid to be hated by people, or that we might offend somebody, that we might not be politically correct. And so we just don't say anything. But you know what? Guess what? It's okay to be called names, to be beaten for the gospel of Christ, because it's the truth of God's word. We shouldn't be afraid when somebody calls us out for being ununderstanding. You just don't get it. No, I understand. But I'm standing on the truth of God's word, and that's far more important than your opinion on the matter, whatever it may be, whether it's homosexuality or, you know, alcohol, drug addiction, these things where the world is a world of embracing, well, it's okay if that's how you want to live your life, then that's the way you can live your life. As Christians, we go, no, that's not the right way to live your life. We look into God's word, we see truth. There's a better way. And they call us ignorant, fools, haters of people. I don't hate anybody. I hate sin. But guess what? With these things, we can rejoice. Hey, guess what? I'd rather stand for Christ and be rejected by the world than have the world be okay with me. And we should all be that way. And they went out rejoicing. In 42, and every day in the temple, from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. We should be as passionate with those things. We get rejected by people, It's no big deal. I'm going to keep going, preaching, teaching Jesus as the Christ. He is the Savior who died for me. And no matter what this world thinks of me, no matter how they treat me, no matter what they do to me, that's okay. We have to be prepared as our culture continues down this path of darkness so that we need to be out there as a light, and people are going to be trying to throw water on that light time and time again. They're going to try to put us out. They're going to try to put us under their heels. They're going to try to subjugate us to their will and desire, but we must obey God over man. And then we rejoice when these things happen. They reach a point where they start closing down churches. We should probably get a little more excited because they're scared. They're scared of the truth of God's word so much that they have to start making it illegal for us to share the gospel. Hey, guess what? If it's working, I'm not going to stop. And we need to be in that same sense. So what should we really pull out of this? We need to remember to rejoice for our suffering, whether it's in our sharing of the gospel or ministering to our community. We got to rejoice in that. And it shouldn't affect us. It's really easy to, when you get rejected, to take it personally. I've spent a lot of time working with kids in outreach ministries year after year after year, and with teenagers year after year and year after year, and they reject Christ. Sometimes they don't, sometimes they accept. That's a very beautiful thing, and they rejoice in that. But it's really easy to get discouraged. And I spent a large time of my high school years, my junior high years, I would go out and share the gospel, being discouraged when people didn't trust Christ. But guess what? We should rejoice in that and not stop in our teaching and preaching of Christ. Acts 5, 38 and 39 says, "So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men," this is Gamaliel, "and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them." I'm kind of pulling this and applying it to our ministry here. Guess what, guys? If everything we do here is for man, if it's for us, if it's so we can look better to our community or to our world, it will fail. We have to be a church, a group of believers who are from God, from His will. We need to find out what He wants us to do, not what we think is best to be doing. And so my challenge as we move forward and continue on in ministry and do different things, let's remember, hey, we're doing this for God. We're doing this because God has put us here. The church has been here. It's still here. There's a reason God has let the church be here. So let's find out what that is. In our Sunday school message, we were talking about the Sea of Galilee and one of the storms and stepping out in faith like Peter into the water, and how when they finally got through the storm, Jesus stopped it and they arrived at their destination. It was different than what they originally were headed towards. And we have to be like the disciples in that, willing to step out in faith in Christ. And guess what? If God takes us in a different direction than what we were thinking, to know that that's okay, because it's God's plan for our lives. This morning as we close, we don't have a closing song this morning. And so we're going to pray and dismiss. We have Operation Christmas boxes to get packed. We have an opportunity to share the gospel with those less fortunate than us in the world. But I still want to challenge you this morning as we leave this place, as you go about your lives and do your next thing. And everything that we do, it should be for God. Everything. And don't stop sharing the gospel. When God gives you those opportunities, you got to step out in faith. Whether it might look dangerous or scary, take those steps out. Let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for your example in Scripture, Lord, of Peter, who consistently, every time, out of jail, straight back to preaching your word. And I pray, Lord, that in our trials and our tribulations and the struggle of our life, that we don't give up on that teaching, that preaching of your word, of the sharing of your gospel, that when we get through troublesome times, the first response for us is to go back into ministry, go back into service, and get back out into your field, Lord. You've said in your word that your fields are white and ready to harvest, and all we need is laborers. And I pray, Lord, that we aren't timid and scared to get out into that field, but at every opportunity that we have, that we take advantage of those, and we get into that field, and we work for you, Lord. Not to build up some kingdom for ourselves here, but to honor and glorify you, Lord, in everything that we do. In your name, amen.